Sportsfeld, believe it or not, Toronto Raptors are in the NBA Finals.
You know, it's been 2 days now, I guess.
Yes.
Still not sure I believe it.
It's incredible.
You know, it's nuts.
Nothing short of incredible.
3 days.
It almost seems surreal, is what I would say.
Yeah, it seems like
we did a good job of like hedging our emotions through every episode. You look back and we're constantly like, they're going to lose the next game they play. But
to be fair, I feel like the fact we only did one throughout the conference finals really mitigates that, because I was not a picture of calm for games 5 and 6. I'll tell you that much.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like reading all the many, you know, previews and articles about the city and articles about the team and history from, you know, the outlets that I would usually read them about other teams and being like, oh, they're writing about us.
Dead center.
It's wild.
The center of the sports world is Toronto, Ontario.
Truly.
On Thursday, game one of the NBA Finals.
It's nuts.
And I ask you, Jake, who better to help us along this journey, to parse our feelings?
It's a thinker.
To toe the line between the top level analysis and the heart and soul guts of what it all really means.
Which is what you come to us for.
Absolutely correct. There's nobody I would rather have in this chair than Blake Murphy with us today.
Hey, guys.
Blake, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me.
A whirlwind, I bet, for the last...
Very, very tired Blake Murphy.
The last two months must have just been, like, crazy.
Here's how tired I am. When Jake started off by saying, it's been 2 days, and left that little pause there, I almost burst in singing 1 week.
It's been...
Yeah. That's where my brain's at right now.
Oh, just jumping into the since you looked at me?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
Oh, boy. Oh, where do you even start? I guess quickly the closeout of the Bucks.
Yeah, I guess to start, my question for Blake, just to quickly close us out. Giannis, coward or fraud?
Fraud.
All right.
Yeah, I don't think he lost because he didn't want to be in that moment. I think he lost because he can't handle that moment.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Until he's a Raptor, right? In which case he can handle that moment.
Yes, I feel like Giannis will reach the point he needs to right around 2021.
We could go back and if we really wanted to, we could go back in every series and find the one big thing that you were 100% right about in every series.
Yeah.
In the Bucks series, it was the Giannis-Kawhi Leonard matchup that you... on this show talked about months ago, ended up basically...
I think you said that to me in February.
The Bucks never looked back. Well, they were too shook to look at anything, really. Yeah.
He looked lost.
Kawhi Leonard's really good at everything. So
I think we're overstating the degree to which Giannis looked lost.
Couple possessions.
The most striking thing of like my debrief of the series was that the minutes that Giannis and Kawhi were both on the floor were exactly tied for the series.
Seems about right.
That makes sense.
Like, who would have thought after that second round that the Raptors' like supporting cast would be the ones who helped swing it?
No, I have to say, after game three.
Yeah. I mean, game three was unlike anything. I think that was like in a postseason full of turning points, the turningest turning point was not giving in game three.
Yeah. And as I think... I don't remember when the last time we talked was, but I think we said that after like game three felt like historically a game the Raptors lose
100%.
10 out of 10 times
in regulation, probably.
Yeah. Pascal missed the two free throws. As soon as that happened, I was like, well, it was a good year. Yeah,
couldn't drop a Toronto sports moment better than that.
No,
the breakout star everyone has rallied around and been so excited about all year, missing two free throws in a key spot.
I will say the way not to watch that game was on a cell phone on mute in a bar when everyone was watching the Game of Thrones finale. That was
weird.
An experience.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy. I mean, what do you even say about Kawhi Leonard at this point? Like, he's unbelievable.
He's so good.
He's unbelievable.
It's so surreal. Like, I think we had this conversation a little bit, obviously to a very different degree, but we were talking about Vlad and the Jays and how, you know, you can't believe that the number one prospect plays for us and like, oh my God, this hype. And then you look at Kawhi, it's like, oh, maybe the best basketball player in the world plays for us. It's insane.
And if not the best basketball player in the world, the best basketball player in the world over the last 6 weeks.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, for sure. Like as a Raptors fan, the foreign concept of like confidence in someone taking a shot from wherever,
even
just like every shot he takes, I'm like, that's fine, whatever.
Up until this year, the Raptors had the best player in a playoff series, like maybe that Miami series in 2016.
Yeah.
Yeah.
they're just like, they were always a depth team, and it was always Kyle and DeMar together that kind of drove everything. It's been rare for them to have the best player in a series, and then it's kind of like, oh yeah, that is like a floor raiser. It's like, everyone talks about Kawhi's even keel, but I think even if it's not Kawhi, having the best player just like provides a sense of calm or like,
and
like,
absolutely.
And yeah, and your point about like raising the floor, like Kawhi's, I put this in quotes, off games are still like 31 and 12.
Yeah.
Like
it's, yeah, I think he shot under 40% like twice in the playoffs so far.
I saw something like he's the third guy to have score average over 30 points and true shooting over 60, I think.
Something like that. Every Kawhi stat you look up right now, it's like, oh yeah.
It's like LeBron and Kareem are the only two.
Sometimes Kobe or MJ work in.
Yeah.
There was one I looked at earlier in the playoffs and it was him and Larry Bird. This was when Kawhi, at that point, he was shooting like 50, 40, 90 on like 30% usage. It was like him, Larry Bird, and KD also this year.
Okay, so we've looked back.
Yeah.
We have to do our best to not. We could just sit here and talk about Kawhi all day.
I mean, I could sit here and talk about Saturday night.
Of course. All day. Yeah.
But as Marc Gasol said, though, he's not here to look backwards.
That's right.
He's here to look forward.
And if there's anyone we should listen to, it's Marc Gasol.
Marc Gasol's a wise guy. The whole team is full of wise, veteran,
great quotes smart from guys. Everyone.
But we look forward. I mean, Jake has notoriously been very nervous about this matchup. I don't know how you can say anything other than Raptors in seven.
I absolutely can't, first of all. The fun thing about this matchup, I think, is that obviously it matters. And if they lose, it sucks. But like, it's kind of house money at this point, right?
Yeah. You know what? You feel that way, though. And
for sure,
the ball's going to go up in game one. Even like tomorrow's media day down at Swiss Bank Arena, you're going to read like two Kevin Durant or Draymond Green quotes.
Oh, I'm so and you're ready
gonna
be, to hate
Draymond. You're going
to
be so mad.
I'm already there with Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, Siakam's a young Draymond.
And, yeah. And they called dropping Drake
later. Yeah. Like, yeah. No, fuck you. This team's here to beat you. Enough.
Yeah.
There is a little bit of like, so with Golden State and Cleveland there over the last 4 years, there was a little bit of like elitism to the storyline where it's like the Midwest against the tech hub and stuff like that. Like there were some real world stories underlying the series battle. I think in this case, there's not going to be as much of that, but there is like some serious basketball elitism going on like it's very much the Don Draper in the elevator scene where Golden State hasn't thought of the Raptors at all yet.
Yeah.
Steve Kerr's cracking jokes. Stephen Curry's getting asked about candy that he likes in Toronto and stuff like that. And
it does feel kind of weird to, as someone who lives in Toronto and obviously has dealt with, you know, the hockey world in terms of success, success in quotes, I guess the most of the sports. It's weird to have everyone that's not the team you're playing sort of rooting for us.
It does see. I saw there was like an Instagram graphic of like, you know, when they do those, like which state is every, or which team is every state cheering for. And it was just all the Raptors logo except for California.
Well, how could it not be? We said on this show many times that we wanted Golden State to lose regardless of who they were playing.
Of course.
And now it's the Toronto Raptors that they're playing.
And like,
you know, who's not doing any media quotes?
Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
Well, he has things to focus on, which are like, which Golden State Warrior am I going to ruin on Thursday?
Which leads me to my first question for Blake. You've been right about pretty much every series in what would be a key. You had Kawhi Giannis, you had Marc Gasol, you had every series you've basically picked something that has been basically bang on. What do you see the Golden State Warriors matchup? Like, what key the Raptors to win? Like, what matchup do you think?
Man, this is obviously way tougher with the Warriors than anyone else because everyone on the floor, even the non-shooters or non-scorers, are threats to do something. Because Kevin Durant is not playing game one and maybe not playing game two, and we don't know when he'll be back, he's obviously the easy answer because he's Kevin Durant. But there's also like a fairly simple, not solution, but like Kevin Durant almost simplifies your defensive thinking because it's like, yeah, you put Kawhi Leonard on him.
Yes.
Right.
It's like, and then it's like if Kevin Durant scores 50 like he did in that one regular season game, the OT win here in Toronto, it's like, well, he scored 50 against Kawhi Leonard and what the hell are you going to do about that?
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough.
The other matchups are a little more dynamic and so Steph Curry is obviously the big problem and he's probably where I'd focus. you have guys like Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet who have done well against those type of off-ball threats pretty much all year long. And in Lowry's case, for most of his career, Danny Green's done an okay job on Steph Curry in the past. Theoretically, you could put Kawhi or Pascal on him.
That was what I wanted.
So this is kind of where I'm going. With the Giannis one, basically what I teed up was they're not going to start with Kawhi and Giannis, but at some point in that series, they're going to need to put Kawhi and Giannis. And like when that happens would tell you a lot about the series. I think with this one, Kawhi is probably going to start on Andre Iguodala so he can work off the ball a little bit more, work for steals, be extra help in the paint and things like that. I think the question is when they put Leonard, if not on Curry, on someone in that Curry-Draymond pick and roll, whether it's Draymond or Curry. If the Raptors get to a point where they need to do that, I think that tells you a lot about how Golden State's offense has been functioning so far. Because I think they would like to use the non-Durant games, not to like rest Kawhi, but he's going to be carrying a huge offensive load in this series. And if he can be kind of that off-ball freelancer, similar to what Draymond Green is for the Warriors, you know, I think the Raptors would prefer to keep Kawhi out of those Steph Draymond pick and rolls.
Is there an argument that, with that being said, is there an argument for sort of when Kawhi went on Giannis, he obviously, because of just Giannis's ability and size, you can't eliminate him from the game.
Right.
But clearly he limited him. Mm-hmm. Is there the argument to be made that put Kawhi on Steph, see if he can... I know Steph's a totally different case because he can just pull up from 35 and it doesn't matter.
Also, he moves without the ball more than almost anyone in basketball.
Right.
So then you're talking about when even if Kawhi can get the ball out of Steph Curry's hands as a deterrent factor, then you're talking about him chasing him through screens all the time. The real answer is the Raptors are so switchy and cross-match so much in transition that like... I don't think we're going to look at the matchup data. It's going to be like Kawhi on this guy for 50 possessions and Kyle on Steph for 50 possessions. It's going to be a lot of like, oh, Kawhi was on this guy for 15 or 20 and then this guy for 15. And,
right.
And that, I mean, that feels like a little bit of a cop-out answer, but that's the whole benefit. Like that's what I've been writing about since the Raptors got Kawhi, is that this is what the defense has been built to do. It's like you can have a good transition defense, but because anyone can just pick up anyone, and then you can have this fluid defense because anyone can switch any action in theory. So
the,
I think you're going to see some of
that. Having the 5+ defenders and blah,
yes.
blah, blah, right.
So that would be why, that's why I kind of teed it up as not necessarily Kawhi on Curry, as Kawhi on either of those guys in the pick and roll. Because that Steph Draymond pick and roll, maybe Kawhi ends up guarding Draymond at some point, and then they can switch that. So Kawhi's guarding Curry at times, but he doesn't necessarily have to chase him around before that point in the possession. Steph seems exhausting, man. Like I was cutting some clips today of like him... what are called relocation threes. And you guys have seen Lowry and VanVleet do it a little yes. bit in the playoffs where a point guard runs something and then gives the ball up. And then you think that the point guard's job is done. And then he like sprints off a screen and he's open for three. Steph does that an exhausting amount. It seems terrible.
And like, then he can also just be like, I'm just going to hit this shot.
Yeah. I'll just pull up from 35.
It doesn't
yeah.
always matter if you stop, if you have solved it. Yeah. I think this conversation and these very excellent points remind me of playing the Warriors incarnate, because it feels like all these conversations, it feels like Klay Thompson's just standing alone. It's like, whoops, one of the other greatest shooters of all time. It's like,
but is the challenge with Steph like just make him dribble, right? Because
sure,
like, I mean,
93%
he's
of the season.
Good at that as well. He also has a great handle and like is the best pull up shooter in basketball. So it's I mean, really, historically the key to Steph in a series has been to be very physical with him and make him work on the defensive end. And that's, you know, that's Steph is not a terrible defender, but he's not a plus defender. You can attack him a little bit by putting him in a lot of pick and rolls and stuff. So I think what you're going to end up seeing is, you mentioned Klay Thompson, Danny Green takes on a big role on the other end. One, he has to find that shooting stroke. Yes. They need that pretty badly. But also, I think they're going to, you know, Steph's probably going to be on Danny Green to start. And that might mean Danny Green has to do a little more work on offense to try to tire Steph out, because you can't let Steph just chill on defense.
Yeah.
So I guess, I mean, that's like the greatest possible coverage you're ever going to get of the Raptors' defensive strategies. And the Raptors' defense has been mind-numbing.
I want to touch on that. So there's been justifiable heaps of praise for the Raptors' half-court defense, because it's been ridiculous. Against 29 other teams, or 28 other teams, it's amazing. Does it even, like, Golden State, does it matter?
I mean, it matters in
like,
this,
obviously it matters they have a good defense, but, like, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, like, look, this is, the Raptors are probably the best defense the Warriors will have run into in the playoffs over this 5-year stretch. And if not the best, like somewhere in the top three. So, you know, it matters a little bit. Like if the Raptors, I think the biggest thing is if the Raptors defense can slow the pace down a little bit. And I know I've read some preview stuff that are like, yeah, the Raptors like to play a fast paced game. And that's true because they have an elite transition offense. Not very many teams take as many possessions in transition as the Raptors do. And they score really well there. Basically, though, if the Raptors don't score in transition, they immediately halt and slow things down. And that's because of the Kawhi-centric offense. I think what the Raptors will try to do is if a transition scoring opportunity doesn't present itself immediately, they want to grind that game out. And if you look at some of Golden State's worst playoff series offensively over the last 5 years, they tend to be played at a slower pace where they can't do the same to you. They can't get out in transition and hit these breakneck pull-up threes. So I think that'll probably be part of the Toronto strategy. And to your question, does it matter that they're good defensively? It matters a little bit. You're still going to have to score really well in this series, too. Like, you're not going to win very many, like, 90 to 88 games. You better be scoring and hitting threes yourself.
That does lead me into my next point was, you know, it seems like everything we've heard is Raptors defense, Raptors defense, Raptors defense. What do you expect the offense to look like? Because, you know, they've had really excellent ball movement. They've also had games where they've had to, like, as you said, they've slowed it down, they've sped it up. They've really shown a lot of different faces. Sort of how do you expect, A, the Warriors to play them, and B, how do you expect them to sort of come out of the gate and attack that?
Yeah, I think the offense is going to be, you know, more or less what people have come to expect so far. Golden State's defense has not been particularly terrific all year. It's gotten better round by round as the playoffs have gone along. Part of that is just like they've owned the Blazers so badly the last couple of years. I think they're 12-1 against Portland in the playoffs during this run. But what the Warriors are going to do probably is you're going to see a lot of attention on Kawhi again, a lot of attention with the intent of getting the ball out of his hands. So if the Raptors run things high up on the floor with Leonard and Gasol, you're going to see them try to force that pass to Gasol, and the Raptors can play 4-on-3 while the Warriors recover. What that means is, one, Gasol has to be willing to shoot those top of the key threes again, like we talked about the last two rounds. Siakam has to be ready to take those corner threes if it gets swung to him. And they really need at least two of Danny Green, Fred VanVleet, and Norman Powell to be having good offensive series, because Golden State's defense, where they like to pressure and scramble, kind of hinges on there being those soft spots in an offense, guys they can't abandon like that. And I think the player that most affects is going to be Pascal Siakam. So we saw two series ago the Sixers eventually go to putting Joel Embiid on him. We saw last series that Giannis was on him for the most part. And I think Golden State is going to open with Draymond on him. And I think what the intention of that will be is to have Draymond be able to help off of him, protect the rim, add an extra body in the paint, similar to what we just talked about with Kawhi. So Siakam's going to need to take those corner threes decisively and knock some of them down. And then you hope that he has learned after going against Embiid and Antetokounmpo how to use that kind of extra space when the ball does get swung to him, if he does need to attack. Draymond is as good or better a defender than those two guys, but he is also smaller, and maybe that helps Siakam get his dribble attack game going a little bit. So, the way Golden State's going to overload to get the ball out of Kawhi's hands, probably you need your 3-point shooters to knock down shots again, and Siakam's got to be able to take advantage of, you know, if it's Draymond on him, Draymond helping off a little bit and giving him some space.
Where does, obviously this changes when Kevin Durant plays, but looking specifically at game one, where does sort of, both on offense and on defense, Marc Gasol fit into all this? Because obviously, you know, Kevin Looney has been playing great and he's a good player, but we've just spent three series being like, oh, we need Gasol to shut down Brook Lopez, Joel Embiid, Nikola Vucevic. Looney doesn't exactly strike fear into the hearts the same way.
He's good though, man. He is an excellent finisher around the rim, which is going to test, you know, Gasol's had excellent rim protection throughout the playoffs. That'll test that a little bit. He's a little more dynamic and bouncy than some of those earlier guys he faced. The big thing, or the big question, because the Raptors can't dictate this, is Steve Kerr is super weird with his center rotations. Like last series alone, he started Andrew Bogut.
More reason to hate this fucking team.
Bogut started twice. Jordan Bell started once, I think, and then Damian Jones, who's only played 6 minutes all playoffs and was coming off an injury, he also started a game. So like Looney is pretty set coming off the bench, but Gasol could hang with With Andrew Bogut, no problem. If Cousins comes back, Cousins is questionable for game one. That, as weird as it sounds, Cousins is an all-star caliber player at his best. That suits Gasol's defensive styling a little bit better, right? Like, Cousins isn't this, at least coming right off an injury, he's not going to be this super, super dynamic option. You know, there'd be a lot of pick and roll that is still really challenging, but Gasol can at least bang with Cousins if they throw it to Cousins in the post. And then at the other end, he can kind of pull him away from the rim. The only, you know, I think the biggest question where Gasol's concerned is when and how often the Warriors go to their Draymond at center lineups, because that's when you get into, you know, Draymond is going to have to guard a ton of, Gasol is going to have to guard a ton of pick and rolls. He's going to have to guard a lot in space. If he's not kind of using his big paws to bat away or steal those passes from Steph to Draymond, I'm not sure he can recover back to the rim in time. So that's where the questions really come into me is when the Warriors go small and how often they do it, because that's coming. And I don't know, you know, on paper, the Raptors go Siakam at center and they can match up small that way. But without OG Anunoby, you're suddenly your small ball look with Anunoby, it's big. You have Anunoby at the four, you have Kawhi at the three. That's a big small ball look, like the Warriors' big small ball look. You take OG out of there, and suddenly you have Fred VanVleet or Norman Powell along with Kyle and Danny Green, and then suddenly your small ball looks pretty small matching up. So how Gasol handles that and how Serge Ibaka handles that is probably the big questions for the center spot.
It's kind of crazy. We can talk for 20 minutes about the Warriors, and it takes that long to be like, oh, yeah. And DeMarcus Cousins.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, he hasn't been like super effective. No. With the injuries and everything.
He's still DeMarcus Cousins.
Yes. Yes. He's still liable to just go get you like 16 and 8 in tiny minutes off the bench, or in, you know, the old Luis Scola, I'll play the first 6 minutes of each half role. Yeah. He's dangerous. It's just, you know, Gasol is the kind of, you know, you look at the center types that Gasol's just had success against. It's like, okay, I could see him having more success against Cousins than Draymond Green at center. And if Cousins being back means fewer small ball minutes for the Warriors, then, you know, obviously adding Cousins back isn't a good thing for the Raptors overall, but matchup wise, it makes things at least a little simpler.
You mentioned Serge Ibaka sort of in a similar vein. How does this favor, this matchup sort of favor him, or does it see him further pushed to the fringes?
No, I think he'll play a lot. I think, you know, the center split minutes will be a little closer to even this time around. Some of that, obviously, like with the last couple of series, will be based on who's playing better. Ibaka played really well against the Warriors in their regular season meetings. He's not shooting the ball particularly well on catch and shoot so far. He's going to need, like we talked about with Gasol and Siakam, he has to hit those jumpers. The Golden State Warriors are going to give them to him. And they're definitely going to bet that Ibaka can't make plays the way that Gasol and Siakam can make plays if Ibaka's kind of the safety valve off traps. But this could be a good Ibaka defensive series. He's a little rangier. They trust him to switch a little bit more. He's still a pretty good rim protector. I think he has a role. I think instead of it being kind of a 30-18 split, maybe you see it something closer to even. And then, you know, if they decide they're too small with Siakam at center, then Ibaka becomes your matchup center against the Draymond lineups, probably.
Whew, man,
this is incredible. Like, it's incredible.
The Warriors, our friend Chris Lund calls them the final boss of sports. They really are.
Yeah,
like they're just every position we just broke down. It's like, well, the Raptors have to play really well because those guys are just going to fucking burn you, and they're all like elite players.
Don't get me wrong. I don't mean to be fatalistic. The Raptors have a real chance in this series. It's just
the Warriors are just ridiculous.
Exactly. You have to cover all these things. You have to check off so many boxes, and you have to like execute extremely well because they're the Warriors. They're just like, their roster is stupid.
It's truly startling.
And then in the middle of the series, like the Raptors could get up 2-0 in the series, and the Warriors would be like, oh, yeah, Kevin Durant's back.
Yeah.
Too true.
And now we're back in Golden State. And we'll see.
It is also sort of startling, though, that how many boxes the Raptors are able to check.
Employing zero bad defenders is kind of cool.
It's the way.
Yeah. It's like there's something satisfying in the – like, stupid thing to say. Obviously, there's something satisfying about winning the fucking NBA Finals.
Correct.
But if they were to do it beating the super team Warriors, like, you can't really ask for more than that.
Oh, yeah. To end their kind of mini dynasty in the final year at Oracle as KD can become a free agent again, it would be – look, the Raptors would be the biggest baby faces in the NBA for a little while. They'd be riding that energy for a little bit. Also, you know, superstars don't leave championship teams, right?
Historically, no.
Because like that's totally in the back of my head.
Unless they have another superstar pushing them out, like
that Shaquille. That was one of the things that crossed my mind. Even the night of Game Six, it's like, oh yeah, not a lot of non-LeBron guys leave Finals contenders.
I think I mean,
we're banking on Durant doing that very thing.
Yeah.
Let's yeah, Durant. But Kyrie. Again, to the Durant point,
Durant's going to come to the Raptors if he gets beat by them, right?
That's how it works.
And Kyrie and LeBron.
The two that I saw, I'm not putting Kyrie on that level. The two that I saw were Shaq with the Lakers, but mm-hmm. extenuating circumstances, and LeBron, which was
LeBron is the championship contender.
Yep,
in the East,
and then Kevin Durant this year, which also seemed to be extenuating circumstances. Yeah. So I think the argument is there.
Yeah. Look, you know, I'm just saying it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, I want to get there when we get there. I'm ready to not, you know what I mean? It's not part of it anyway.
Look, I'm about to publish my fourth mailbag of the playoffs, one for each round.
Of course.
And every single time there's been questions about Kawhi staying.
Of course.
I'm fan servicing here. I know the people
totally.
The people do want to know.
But I think if there's one thing we can say collectively that we've learned about Kawhi Leonard, it's that he is thinking about the NBA Finals and nothing else.
Yes. And there is something
that dude is fucking good.
And as a fan, there's something comforting knowing that like everything we just said with the Warriors that like between us is like, oh my God, like what do you do with the Warriors? Kawhi's like, I don't give a shit.
Here's the thing. Lots of unfinished business on the Raptors.
The Warriors' last memory of Kawhi was them falling down by 20 points to the Kawhi Spurs. Kawhi just going supernova against them. And then Zaza takes out his leg. And then they suddenly, they storm on this comeback. Yeah, they
were 22 when he got hurt.
Kawhi has unfinished business. Patrick McCaw has unfinished business.
Chris
Boucher
has unfinished business. I want the Patrick McCaw revenge game.
Danny Green has unfinished
bad.
Business. Kyle Lowry has the whole league.
Kyle Lowry has unfinished like business of everything he
people
does.
People like me. People, you know.
Kyle Lowry's whole career is unfinished
business.
He probably
has close people in his family that he's out despite right now.
What's Danny Green's unfinished business?
He was on the Spurs team.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's true.
All those guys, man.
And I do think there is something to them being the final boss. Everyone wants to take a swing at the Warriors.
Yeah. Plus, sorry, to add on to Zubas' thing, Gasol and Ibaka have both lost to this dynasty of Warriors in the playoffs.
Yep, that's true.
They're going to...
That being said, find me a guy in the league who hasn't.
Oh, yeah, but I got asked a bunch. Yeah. I've gotten asked a bunch in this series about like what the experience factor is like, because all these Warriors have been through the finals now and been through that. And it's certainly a factor. You, on the other side, Danny Green has won a ring. Kawhi Leonard has won a finals MVP. But I also think there's value in four of the Raptors' key eight players having actually been in playoff series with the Warriors before, because you know that they can turn it on. You know that they flip that switch. You know what it's like to be on the other end of one of those inevitable like 18-3 runs that they go on. And, you know, obviously all of those guys ended up losing those series. But I do feel like having been through it, you know, it probably at least helps maintain a certain energy level of like, okay, we've seen this before, you know, this is what we got to do. We just went on a 26-3 run the other day too, don't forget, that kind right. of thing.
To the seen it before kind of thing, I think I know the answer to this question. I'm pretty sure you know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it because I've seen it asked in every fucking preview piece, except for yours, really. Does regular season...
Not all mine are out yet, so...
Do the two regular season games matter at all?
Not really. The first one, Steph and Draymond missed, and then the second one, Kawhi missed.
Right.
So it matters in so much as it showed the Raptors can beat them and can beat a fully staffed Warriors team at Oracle without Kawhi. Like, those things matter. But the Warriors were still kind of like in there, like, the regular season doesn't matter. Clay's in this deep slump. Those games mattered way more. It's kind of like when over the last couple of years, it's kind of gotten to a point where, like, other teams come into Toronto and take their best shot. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, yeah, the Raptors didn't care nearly as much about that game as, like...
The Magic.
Always
the Magic.
Yeah. It's like, I think those regular season games are something like that, where it's like, yeah, the Warriors would have liked to push the Raptors aside and be like, get out of here.
And I guess they're both pre-Gasol, both
yes.
non-playoff Kawhi.
Yeah. And then you're missing, you know, Kawhi for one of them and Steph and Draymond for the other. Right. And yeah, they're encouraging, though. Also, Kyle has always played well against Golden State.
I wonder, does Steph sort of, I don't want to say loose defense because I'm not sure if that's accurate, but does Kyle match up well against Steph, a guy like Steph on the offensive end?
I mean, fine enough, but I don't think Steph's going to guard him initially. I think they'll put Steph on Danny.
Interesting. Yeah. And what, Clay on Kyle?
Probably. Otherwise, the Raptors are just going to like spam pick and rolls to put Steph in the pick and roll. And if also if they put Steph on Kyle too much, they'll probably run like Kawhi-Kyle pick and rolls, like with Kyle as the screener to try to get Steph on Kawhi. So you might see Steph on him for little bits, but I think the Raptors would go mismatch hunting a little too much for Golden State to be comfortable.
I can't wait. This is going to be so good.
It's going to be so fun. It's not going to be fun if we get absolutely stomped, but it is kind of going to be fun if we get after. You know what I mean? Like it's
awesome. This is awesome.
It really is.
We talked, and I think everyone that talked about this team at any point talked all year about the NBA Finals being the getting to that point, and then the dice go where they go was like the dream. And there were so many moments in this playoff run where it was like, this is the time when it falls apart. Historically, and everyone in the city and everyone in the building knew it every time. When the sound that arena made when Siakam missed those free throws was like, that was unbelievable. They were at home and it was like,
there it is.
Exactly right. Everyone just went, oh, there it is. And even against Philly, there was like, oh, there it is. Oh my moments. God.
The mindset after game three against Philly was, oh, they did it again. It's over.
Yeah.
They'll never stop.
This is the thing. And
they'll never stop Jimmy Butler. Well, guess what?
My counterpart at The Athletic, Eric Kareen, wrote about this at one point during the Philly series, and I have found it to be very true. It's like it never feels like anything but the last result is ever possible as the next result. Like whatever happened in game three has to be what happened in game four. It's unfathomable that anything else could happen.
It's just like I've said before, I'm the kind of person who goes back and, you know, rewatches a lot of games and moments just in spare time because I find it fun, especially on a good run like this. And the thing I've noticed, there's been, and this, I'm sure this is true of every team on a playoff run, save for maybe the Warriors because they just dominate everybody anyway. But there's been so many moments in these playoffs where, like, if one shot goes in for the other team or one doesn't go in for us, it's like, which in basketball, like, you can say that easily in hockey or soccer. It's like, oh, yeah, they don't score that goal or they do score that goal. Like, it's different. Like, basketball, 200 points a game.
Yeah.
But there's been so many moments at the Raptors, like, they don't get those 2 points in that exact time. They're not here. It's crazy. It's been a crazy run.
And there have been moments, too, where it feels like it's going the other way. Like, during that 26-3 run, like the Chris Middleton end of clock turnaround three. It's like, oh, well, there it is.
Yeah.
There's the other shoe.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, and then no, they just like, they fight their way through it still.
I will say I did have an unusual amount of confidence during game six for a Raptors to go to the finals game.
Well, I will say this, Milwaukee looked awfully familiar in that game.
Because I looked like the Raptors?
Exactly right.
Yeah.
It looked like, I went, I've seen this before. That's the look. That is the, we don't have an answer for this.
Yeah.
And we're not going to find one.
Fair lack of adjustments you got there, coach.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Interesting how we just put our best player on your best player, and then that was it. And you're like, well, what can I do about that?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Like, as soon as they cut it to, like, whatever it was, five at half, I was like, oh, okay.
At the end of the third quarter,
yeah. That's the other big change is they're the comeback kids. They were behind. I feel like they were behind in almost every single one of those Milwaukee games at one point. And it was just like, yeah, as long as they're not behind with 6 minutes left in the fourth.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be fine. And even then, as long as it's like six.
Now
it's the Warriors.
Do not do that again.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
The Warriors who just swept the team even though they were down by 15 in three of the games.
Fuck.
It's going to be great.
It's funny. We talked after game one against Milwaukee. And Zoobs, you made the point about how Milwaukee had the thing where they're 2 minutes away from being down 15, but also 2 minutes away from being up seven. When they're down 15, and like the Warriors are that times.
Warriors 50. Invented that. They fathered your whole style.
Yeah.
They played like, catch with your whole style.
The frustration of those early Milwaukee games where just every three is going in, it's going to drive me fucking crazy because it's going to happen a lot.
Yeah. I would be very curious to hear in the responses to when you guys tweet this out, at what time and score people would actually be confident that a win is locked up.
Raptors Warriors?
Yes, because
up 20 with like a minute.
I was going to say, because I remember the game in Oracle where this year that they won by 20. Like, I didn't close my notebook until there were like 90 seconds
left. I think that's accurate.
Because that, by the way, me closing the notebook, that's my salami and cheese.
Oh, very nice.
Once the game's over, I pack my notebook.
Close the notebook. Raptors win.
Yeah. By the way, Chuck Swirsky, bust out the salami and cheese Raptor before support. The Bucks series and said Raptors in six with the picture of salami and cheese on Twitter.
Gotta love
Chuck
it.
Knew all along.
Chuck's been like really pumping the Raptors tires.
How can you not?
Of course.
Hope he's here for a game.
Chuck, me too.
Chuck loves the team still.
I want everyone back though. Like Bosch is going to be on one of the broadcasts.
If there's a first pitch equivalent for basketball, yeah. Give it to Chuck.
Yeah, throw the opening tip.
Yeah, ceremonial first tip.
Oh my God.
It's crazy.
I can't believe it.
The fact that there is going to be on the floor of the Air Canada Center or Scotiabank Arena, whatever you want to call it, that NBA Finals logo in our build, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
It's funny that we're going to wrap this up and get to the mailbag in a second because we have more Raptors to get to, but we've sort of done a great job of redoing this. I think it's so funny that after the four bounce shot, we are feeding him the questions.
That's
after the four bounce shot, we're like, what an iconic moment, Kawhi. It's like he's had two dunks since then that were like, ugh.
He is like Keyshawn has had a career in this playoff 100%. Run on Kawhi moments only.
Yeah.
100%.
The dunk against the little handoff dunk in game six.
Yeah. With Kyle giving Giannis the little shove.
Is A, the epitome of 2 points is not just 2 points.
Yes.
And B, is the second most iconic dunk in Raptors history, not counting the dunk contest.
Yeah, it's up there. It's
like in-game dunks.
His one on Embiid in the Philly series.
Yes, he's repeatedly done this. Yeah. It's crazy. I can't wait to see what.
Also, he's done this while all anyone can talk about for 46 minutes of every game is how it looks like he can't jump.
He's so tired.
Doesn't have his legs. Yeah. He only dunked over Giannis.
Yeah. That doesn't quite have it. Dunked over the maybe defensive player of the year.
I love it.
Maybe the back-to-back defensive players of the year and Embiid and
I love Giannis. It. I can't wait. Great matchups. It's going to be great games. We have to do it. I'm saying Raptors in seven.
Has
to be Raptors in seven.
I'm saying Raptors in seven because I can't say anything else. I also think there's no way the Raptors win this series not in seven games.
Okay. Yeah, you're not winning at the last ever game in Oracle.
No, sir.
Raps in five?
I think if it's happening, it's happening in seven, and I can't imagine the tension of a NBA Finals Game 7. That would also make this one of the best final series ever if it goes to seven.
It's shaping up, man.
That's crazy.
The matchups.
Anyway.
One last question before we go to the mailbag, which is sort
full
of...
full of Raptors questions.
Sort of related to Game 7. How important is that we have home court?
It's big. I think it's like, most important.
Would this be over if we didn't already?
No. But I do think that Oracle is a really tough place to play. Scotiabank Arena is a pretty tough place to play. And the fact that you have the first two games at home, possibly with Kevin Durant out for both of them, is your best chance to kind of get a hold on the series and get that kind of comfort, all those intangible things, getting comfort and knowing you can beat them and just kind of not being with your backs against the wall right out of the gate. Obviously, that doesn't matter too much. They went down 2-0 to Milwaukee.
Right.
But against Golden State, it's pretty nice anything to have
those
first two.
Anything you can get.
Yeah, a game seven, if it went down to it, I think 80% of home teams win game sevens in NBA history.
You know who didn't?
Yeah, the Golden State Warriors. The 73 win.
Yes, who blew a 3-1 lead.
Yes.
Yikes. With the unanimous MVP.
Yes. Anyway, forgot about those jokes, man.
Yeah, they're all coming out to play this week.
You know what? So you know the stupid old hockey trope that a 2-0 lead is the worst lead in hockey?
Yeah.
If the Raptors get up 3-1 in this series, I'm going to be terrified.
Oh, yeah.
It's the 4-1 Maple Leafs lead.
Yes. Yeah. It's it'll actually be better. Actually, it's better to be 2-2 after four games.
I'm going to be honest. If the Raptors have any resemblance of control in this series, I'm going to be terrified.
Yeah, you're going to be terrified regardless.
But that's not the point. It's not the point I'm currently trying to make.
Oh, my goodness. Blake, I mean, what can we even say? The Kawhi Leonard of analysis.
It's true.
Out of superfluous.
Puts his head down, does his work.
The coverage this postseason has been startling.
Excellent.
Every day. I can't wait. And we're going to give you 25 minutes more. nothing but Raptors questions. Lots of stuff. A huge response to the mailbag this week. So lots to get to right after this. Lots to get to in the mailbag, as I said.
Mostly Raptors.
Well, it's that time of the year.
It is. I mean, what for the first time else ever, are you going to talk
you
about?
You want to talk about the St. Louis Blues?
For the first time
what
ever.
What are we doing here?
No. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Okay, start off. Who's the one Raptor that you wish could have been a part of this finals team?
Cop-out answer is obviously DeMar, right?
There's two ways to take this, right? There's which player's playing style do you wish they were adding to the rotation versus which Raptor most deserved to be here?
The answer to part one of that question is PJ Tucker.
Mm.
Mm.
Having PJ Tucker back for the Warriors series would be
cool. Just,
yeah.
Works so
just
well.
Just go on a pancake tour of the Bay Area.
Works so well against LeBron, so.
Look, that was a lot of KC playing him off the bench and not playing him a lot of minutes.
Fair point.
But,
PJ Tucker, that's a good one, yeah.
I mean, Tucker from a play perspective. From but the nostalgia, I think this question is
It's DeMar or like Bosch, right?
Yeah. Bosch, peak Bosch would be super functional.
Peak Bosch would be unbelievable. Would be
amazing. Yeah, it's probably
it has to be DeMar. Has to be DeMar. Or like Jose Calderon.
Yeah. I mean, Jose was at a game. I feel like that's close enough. Right? He would have been in street clothes if he was on the roster.
Anyway. I was when JV came to a game, and I feel like there's another former Raptor who came to a game recently.
Bebe
came. I had a minute of like, do you think DeMar would come to the finals? But he's not.
I don't think no so. Chance. I guess I shouldn't go to the next question.
I was going to say, speaking of, one of the next questions, watching the finals unfold, is DeMar sad or not sad?
I think he's definitely sad. I think he's probably, at the same time, extremely pumped for Kyle.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then just, like, raging inside at the rest of it. At, like, Kawhi having that moment that he thought he would get, at Masai looking vindicated for the trade, and...
Yeah, there's nothing worse than wanting like someone who like you feel wronged you, and then the way they wronged you being like, oh, they were actually right in the end.
Yeah.
Living well is the best revenge. Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah. DeMar going full sad season on Instagram too is something I personally respect quite a bit.
Absolutely.
And he's always been the modern version of my MSN status is getting updated and I'm logging off and logging back in.
To the person you want to talk to will see you log in. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah. There's always been a little, it's part of why I've always been so drawn to DeMar DeRozan. It's full sad season for DeMar. And
yeah.
I hope he's doing well, but as someone who's had a few of those sad summers, you know.
It does sort of the next level of it is not just that they're succeeding, but like that the dude is like
the next year
murals and every series it's his moments and it's you're just like that would hurt.
Yeah, even though like there's the obvious like reality of it all that like Kawhi is just better than him.
The game is the game, yeah.
But that would suck a lot.
That wouldn't make it feel better.
Yeah. Oh, he's
love your life. Oh, the guy's better than you. Don't worry.
cool. The guy she married is better looking and more successful and treats her better.
Yeah. Oh. Don't be mad. He's way better than you. Oh,
woo. Cool. I'll bounce right back. Don't worry about it.
Fair point.
When you put it that way. Blake, will you be playing in the media game and who will put up the most points?
I will not. So for those who don't know, Jake.
Yep.
Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports is Bay Area based and he put together a media game like with jerseys that will be live streamed and a media meal after at Steph Curry's gym out there. He got over 100
hate that Steph Curry.
He got over 100 people who wanted to play and there were 40 spots. So I actually got one of the initial spots and then he tweeted that like over 100 people had asked. And I was like, well, first of all, I'm not very good. Second, my wrist is still messed up enough that if I were to play, I still have to wear that stupid wrist brace I've been wearing around for like the last 6 weeks. So I didn't really want to take one of the limited spots
to be like Blake a cripple
on the floor.
I love this because of all the shots he would have taken with you.
I would have taken zero shots. This was my entire hope the whole time was like, before I knew it was live streamed, I was like, well, I hope there's at least a box score so I can go like 0-1 and be plus 15.
Write the data post on the media game.
Exactly. I'll have the best like box plus minus with zero counting stats.
The matchup data is not 100% reliable. However, the guy I matched up with.
Yes. What if he got matched up against Reynolds? Be fine.
He was not playing in that game.
I don't know.
But no, he would – see, this is the thing is that a guy like Reynolds – or we actually played in Milwaukee. We played 3-on-3 games, and I was on Bruce Arthur, and he is as big a talker about that kind of thing as Reynolds. He took zero shots against me.
Mm.
So that's the thing. Grange gave me buckets, though.
Really?
Grainchek played college ball.
He's big. He's tall.
He's tall.
Like 6'4", 6'5". So really I like kept him out of the post and stuff, and then he just like hit mid-range jumpers over me.
I was going to say.
It's like I can only be so 5'10".
And he has three-point range.
Yes.
Yes. That's true. Yes. I hate that.
Limiting him.
Yeah, that's blame me. I titled it.
Oh, no, I don't hate the title. I hate that Zubes just use the title in that context.
Okay. Oh, apart.
Yeah. They used to call it Grange.
No, not one for puns.
Yeah, no, not me.
They used to call it just Grange for 3 points. And I was like,
that's
guys,
terrible.
Oh. 3 point Grange is right there.
Yeah.
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 Well, I mean, listen.
You're welcome, Grange, who's definitely listening to this.
Mid range Jays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take those, please.
You want to take the least efficient shot on the floor and work hard for them? Whatever.
Not from the corner? Sure, man.
I'm going to beat you from 25.
He's got a nice jumper, 24. Though. Anyway, so I'm not playing. I don't know who would get the most points. I have a suspicion that Chris Haynes put all this together and is live streaming it because he can hoop. And he won.
Like, what?
I can't imagine a bad basketball player put all this together.
Here's a good question. And this is sort of back to the Warriors. Is Andre Iguodala still an elite wing defender?
I don't know if I would say elite. So like he's deep into his 30s. I would say he's still very good when he's locked in, to the extent that I think they're probably going to put him on Kawhi. I don't know if – like I don't think he has like finals MVP level of defense in him anymore, or like lock down LeBron enough to get a finals MVP. But he's still pretty good.
Do you think Kawhi can sort of – take him to the shed?
Yeah. The thing with Iguodala is he's very strong. So even though he gives up some size to Kawhi, there will be a little bit of that like physical presence back that like Middleton is big and has length, but like I don't think Kawhi felt Middleton quite as much. And it was the, you know, Ben Simmons tried to get really physical with Kawhi and it just wasn't super effective. Iguodala is, you know, he has that kind of strength to at least be in his way effectively.
Man, Kawhi sent Ben Simmons on a spirit journey this summer. Dude is going for a long walk.
Yeah.
That guy had his lunch ate in front of him. Would you rather a 10 game seven to the final? Would you rather a 10 game seven to the finals?
Stupid question.
Or go Bigfoot hunting with Jose Canseco? You could put basically anything in the second half of this day.
I'd rather a 10 game anything. Any game of anything.
Yeah.
Then go big by
the way. The Jose Canseco appeal would not last long.
No. Now, if it were the Lonely Island as Jose Canseco and you could go Bigfoot hunting, then maybe. No, it's game seven, obviously.
Obviously.
I have an unpopular opinion. I don't love the Lonely Island.
I was never a huge fan, and then I think Pop Star is one of the funniest movies of the last like 20 years, and that really turned me around on them.
They're great. The fact that there's so much commitment to detail to making the actual music good is their whole shtick would still exist if the songs were just like cheesy and bad, but like the fact that they commit to like the high production quality and
Groff's gonna kill me for that.
I also think that like their bits are so specific for how successful they are.
Sure.
Like making a 30-minute video about Mark McGuire and Jose Canseco. Yeah. It's like
That is not what I was expecting when I turned it on. When I saw like the screenshot of it, I thought it was going to be like a pop star style like mockumentary into the steroid era of baseball, not just like 25 minutes of songs about Jose Canseco.
Regardless, even if it is the opposite, it's such an old on reference to be so successful.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not to say that I don't love all their other work, because I have a really finite tolerance for like musical parody.
That's fair.
Like, I didn't make it through the whole Jose Canseco thing.
It is long.
I was like, I get it. You're using things you wouldn't normally say in songs. I understand. Fair. I also didn't love Popstar.
Really?
I felt, and this is one of those things that happens, is people were like barraging with, it's the most underrated movie. It's so underrated. It's so underrated. I was like, oh. And I went, I was like, yeah. They sang songs about stuff you don't normally sing about.
Right. I was going to ask if you were stony, so up there. It was a stupid question.
Yeah, I was awake when it was on, so. Okay, we move on. Enough of my unpopular opinion about a thing I could never do if I tried every day the rest of my life. A very similar question.
That's literally our entire show.
Absolutely right. Would you accept free courtside seats to Game 7 of the Finals if it meant you could never watch another Raptors game the rest of your life?
No.
But like, how cool is it that, like, all these like, would you take the seats questions. It's like, I'm going for free. Couldn't care less about the
I
seats.
Thought about, you know how often we've talked about how sometimes I want to go heel on Twitter.
Of course.
When I saw everyone complaining about the ticket prices, I thought about doing a whole bit of like, why don't you guys just become sports writers so you can go for free?
Just sit in a press box. Just get a press Stupid. Pass.
Yeah. Just start your own, quit your job, start your own blog for a couple of years, eventually get a press pass, go
yeah.
to the game for
yeah.
free.
That's how I feel about people who line up for the Jays giveaways. I was like, just show up late and get it in the press box. Like, stupid. Show up in the fifth inning. They just hand it to you.
Yeah. I will say though, like putting a question like that in perspective, like I don't really know.
It's hard to say.
Yeah. Not that I like don't obviously enjoy going an incredible amount. But yeah. It's like,
I think to that question specifically, I would say no, because I've had a great time not being
right
at the games and still watching them.
Yes.
Whereas not that being at game semifinals.
Totally.
Would be,
no,
like
I agree.
It's a bucket list.
But yeah, the value thing. Add compared to the value
exactly.
lost.
And you would be with guaranteed to be with your friends for the
yes.
The, I agree with that. That's probably my answer too, because you don't need to be courtside for it to have the sense of community.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Oh yeah. The sense of community in every bar in the city on Saturday was insane, I imagine.
Incredible. What an incredible run. So this is so cool. This one's not for me. Raptors starting five as Tracks Off Dedicated, which I assume is an album by Carly Rae Jepsen.
It is. I'm pulling it up, the track list now, to help me.
Mm-hmm. Here's my issue with answering this question before we even try.
Okay.
All of the songs on Dedicated are extremely horny.
Yes.
That is an R&B album about having sex.
The Raptors could never.
No. No, it's, look, I'm just the answer to
one
all
of them had a kid in the playoffs. Yeah, like, the Raptors fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like,
and Kawhi had a kid like 8.5 months after the trade.
And Serge Ibaka's on our team.
Yes, that's where I was eventually going to go, is that the starting five, none of them get them. Serge has all the songs.
Yeah, every song
on the album. On the album.
That's fair. Sex. That's a good answer.
Like, is the question like lyrical content, or are we talking like quality of song? Like,
I think probably like spiritual match. I would have to give this is a mailbag question for like a written mailbag where I would accidentally sit down for like 45
of course.
Minutes to do this.
Accidentally.
Like that time we did Death Cab.
Yeah. Oh, that took way too long.
Raptor. Yeah.
That was was that the beginning of this season?
No, it was when I was still a Raptor.
Oh, okay. So, I was going to say we'd have to.
What a journey. You still hoping to answer this, or are we just going to go with Serge? That's a good answer.
Let's go with Serge.
Yeah, I don't have I'm sorry to that person.
It's got to be hard to already know the album that well. No.
Yeah, I don't. I like it.
Okay, which Toronto bar would each member of the Raptors starting five like the most? The one where they can sit in peace and not be bothered.
Yeah.
Fred VanVleet's comment today. It's like, I love the fans, like everywhere you go.
I'm tired.
But it kind of pisses me off. Of course. Like sometimes I'm trying to have a drink.
Yeah, real sports, so they can be not,
yeah, in the not VIP, bothered. In the VIP section alone, yeah.
The Kawhi answer is Crown and Dragon
for
the wing.
A strip club.
The Kawhi answer is definitely like the library bar. That is as quiet as possible.
No, I'm actually going with Crown and Drake. Somewhere he could just have good wings and it's not a big crowd. And
yeah.
I feel like it's the wrong neighborhood for him, though.
Yeah, whatever. Garage to garage.
You know, it strikes me that the answer for Kawhi would be like his own apartment and someone makes him a really nice meal.
Yeah.
And he appreciates it and then they go to bed.
Yeah.
Because that's what a normal person would do. And
it's
he's
true.
Just a normal guy.
I'm trying to think if there's any Raptor, other than, again, Serge, who would be like, let's go to a bar.
Danny. Danny yeah. Green probably. I could see it. Yeah.
I feel like Danny would like a maybe like Blood Brothers, like a brewery that has like good okay. like he I feel like he'd appreciate the like quality in, okay. a, in like a good craft beer place.
Okay. I could see it.
Interesting.
I have a Danny Green question for you after off the air. I need your help with something. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Weird. I like it. I think this one's for Blake. I think you teased a Sneaky D's final party.
Oh yeah.
Obviously you'll be working during the finals. It's a cool idea, but yeah. You'll obviously be working.
Okay, so for anyone who doesn't know, when Chris Haynes tweeted about hosting a media game, I was like, forget that. Let me host an NBA Finals emo night at Sneaky D's, which is a joke, and it obviously couldn't happen on a game night, but if anyone wanted to make that happen at any venue, I would absolutely host an NBA Finals emo night. As of right now, it's not happening.
It cannot be hard with people that you know, your connections.
I'm...
Between the two of you.
Pretty positive we can make that happen.
I am almost certain you could make that happen.
I know no one in the like the venue game. I guess I could loop Steven.
I was going to say, yeah, if only you knew like...
What if I told...
Well, you knew one of the most successful funk musicians yeah, in the country.
But if I told him what the purpose was, he would be out. He would be,
tell him you'll play one jazz song that nobody likes.
Wait. Come on. It's... Oh, yeah. Sneaky D's and the Raptors. I hate those two things, Steve would say. Keep me as far away from that as you possibly can.
I think it would be him being associated with the emo night.
Oh, he would not be pleased.
Yes.
Yeah, because the music's, the music's him, so far away from that.
Maybe if I told him it was a ska night.
then he'd be like, oh, the good jazz. Yeah. And he'd come to it.
Yeah, the music that sounds...
It's a whole bunch of inside baseball jokes.
The music that sounds pretty close to what you play. Yeah, okay. moving on. Is it weird that Golden State is named after California's nickname? Could any other teams get away with this?
Jersey could. A Garden State team?
I'm sure, I bet Florida could.
What's Florida's
motto? Sunshine State?
Oh, yeah. It is a little weird.
I suppose.
Yeah, it's... I'm trying to think if there are any other
Do you know... Is there like a... I'm sure there is like a historical reason for them being Golden State.
Yeah, I don't know it offhand, but...
There must be.
I mean, it's worked out well now where like they try to brand as a Bay Area team, right. Not Oakland or San Fran. Well, I don't remember...
Help once all the money came
yes.
in.
Yes. I don't remember the historical reason. I'm trying to think what a Toronto one would be.
The only thing that matched up with them would be the serial killer, the Golden State Killer. Yes. So they're in good company.
That's if only...
I'm just looking for ways to hate on the Warriors now.
You're never short on them. Man, you've been hating the Warriors never been since like the second championship.
I've been hating the Warriors since 2013.
We've never had a serial killer. Definitely not. Are we gonna paper over Toronto our history smugness. With that? Like we're papering over the diversity
stuff.
No,
we're the only this is
least racist city in the world,
we're
man.
The diverse city.
Haven't you heard? One guy beat racism.
Yeah. By the way, beat racism by having racism done to him.
Yes,
first.
Couldn't get a job here because of other reasons.
I love it. We're so accepting.
The next step from that is that actually the racism was good.
It helped him overcome the racism.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
How would he have overcome it if we weren't racist in the first
Toronto
place?
Toronto cops? If they like basketball.
If he could have just been
zero
an
arrest. Day one. Yay, cops. Good job, cops. You did it. Oh, boy. Starting a spiral. As always, we come back to condiments and mustard. I guess we need a mustard question or whatever.
I have an answer to the Golden State
Before we move on, please.
They adopted the brand name Golden State Warriors prior to the 71-72 season in order to suggest the team represented the entire state of California.
Right, because there are already many other California teams.
Yep. There you go.
Thank you, Jake.
You're welcome.
As always, the podcast historian is on the case.
Well, Wikipedia's there. Phone's next to me.
I appreciate that. Someone should look up something between the two of us at some point in the show. I appreciate that today was you. We move on to a mustard question or whatever. Have you seen these combination condiments? In the picture, there's Cranch, which is ketchup and ranch, Mayo Q, Mayo Must. I have had the Mayo Ketchup, Mayo Chop.
Yeah.
It's perfect on fries.
This is literally a Mr. Show sketch.
I don't doubt that. I've had Mayo Chop and it was great. I don't have any desire to have any of the other ones.
I definitely don't desire to have Cranch because ranch dressing is the most disgusting condiment that exists.
Mm-hmm.
Mayo Must. I feel like the thing about Mayo Q and Mayo Must is like majority of sandwiches, they're already both on there. So I understand the utility.
That's what makes Mayo Chop fry ingredient is you're already doing that.
I understand the utility of it, but do I want them combined into one sauce? I don't know. I feel like maybe is the flavor profile because they're separate and then put together – like if you're blending them.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't know. I don't think I want that flavor profile in my face.
It feels like Heinz is costing themselves money. Just why would I ever buy mustard and mayo separately? To Jake's point, a lot of time.
I'm out on all of these things.
Not surprising.
I don't really like mayo. And
yeah,
then,
I'm not.
I just don't see the only. Need for a lot of this stuff.
I think that's the other thing. Like what was wrong with
2019, man? Stuff just people just make dumb shit to do it.
Yeah, it's true.
That's where we are as a society. The usefulness of a thing now comes far behind the catchiness of the possible
thing. It can go viral.
Look at us talking about it on a podcast.
Yeah, that goes viral, that people listen to.
Quickly, before we close the mailbag, because Blake's here.
Something that's not dumb, finally.
Finally. Finally, we talk about All Elite Wrestling.
Just so I can go take a piss.
Yeah. No.
Unless you want to learn about big fucking mocks.
I don't always get to indulge.
When do you not get to indulge?
The last couple of guests I didn't talk to Arun about wrestling.
I guess so.
Can't imagine you talked to Vivek about wrestling.
Didn't talk to Vivek about wrestling. Didn't talk to Joe Cash about wrestling. When was the last time we talked about wrestling on the show? Probably months.
Probably the last time I was here.
The Raptors are screwing up with my wrestling talk. Anyway, big fucking Mox is in AEW.
The Raptors are going to go NBA Finals, draft, free agency, summer league, and then you're not even going to have time for a G1 preview show.
That's scary. That's a scary thought. Big Mox, what's your dream? I'm gonna get rid of this. This says what's your dream Moxley G1 matchup? I don't think he's gonna be in the G1.
Okay.
I don't know.
G1's Japan,
right? That's a tough schedule.
Yes, it's their big summer tournament where it's like two divisions of 10 guys and you face everyone in the division.
It's a really tough tournament to be in immediately.
Yes. I also think that I like the spirit of the question, but dream matchup to me is different than is this guy in the G1, because the entire beautiful thing about the G1 is that you get to see them face all the guys.
Yes.
That said, my best New Japan matchup for Moxie is Ishii.
Yes. Oh my God. It's going to be so good.
Yeah. Look, we don't know what Moxley's like level of wrestling is going to be after so many years in the WWE system where he was not super great in ring. But pairing him up with the guy who they could just punch each other for real for 20 minutes, it'd be cool. There's no way that match isn't good.
I will say this. I can't wait for Moxley versus Omega.
Yeah.
Like Kenny's going to make him look like $10 million.
Yes.
It's going to be... Oh, I can't wait for AEW TV.
Seth Rollins is going to be so mad.
Of course. They're all going to be... Here's the hope. And I'll sort of extrapolate on this because I talked to Sean about this before the show. Because everyone in the green room other than Jake loves AEW.
I mean, I learned it was before for sure. We started recording.
The thing that makes AEW feel different is it starts with Moxley, really. It's not like a WCW or a TNA where it's only old guys and jobbers that get fired that seem to want to go there. The thought that there were guys like Cesaro or Big E or Rusev, go down the list, anybody that like has that, is in their prime and feels like they're being underused, anybody seeing that and being like, that looks like fun,
yeah,
is like the most intoxicating thought I can think of in biz.
Yeah, it's cool. It's
what a time for the business.
It's exciting. Business.
You know, we've talked about this in the group chat a lot where I have more reservations about AEW in general than you guys do. I'm trying to be optimistic, but like until we see it every week, until we see what it's actually going to look like, you know, so far it's been two big shows and like social media.
Yes.
So
is AEW like the XFL, but the exact opposite in the wrestling world, considering it's against Vince McMahon and everything that he stands for?
It's hard to properly give it a sports callery. It's like if there was a new hockey league that didn't do all the dumb shit hockey does.
Yeah, like it's played 4-on-4.
Right.
You get rid of all the goons.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You'd
right.
have to do a lot more. Say you change like the media focus, but they went ahead and hired Jim Ross.
Yeah, so. It was like if you were to do hockey, like you said, 4-on-4 and like, I don't know, who would be a good, if like Eric Carlson joined instead. And you were like, oh, damn, like they got a really dynamic, cool guy that everyone likes. It's not McDavid, but they got a dude that you like is going to excel in this new league. Right. Anyway, we're going to get into AEW. We have all summer for AEW. That's it. We're going to move on.
What does it stand for?
All Elite Wrestling.
Oh, okay.
Yes. That's what people, an hour in, they're like, when are they going to get to the fucking fireworks factory? Talk about AEW already.
When are they going
to
talk about Mox?
Big fucking Mox.
For obviously, this is an audio platform, so this has been a waste, but I've been carving Mox's little logo in the table here the entire time with my giant cool knife.
I must have said or thought or typed the words Big F and Mox.
Or just texted it to me randomly.
Like 300 times yesterday. I was so hyped. Great stuff.
I went out and smoked a cigarette.
I love it.
Just because he did it and it looked cool.
That's Big Mox, man. Dean Ambrose, total loser goof. Big Mox, look out.
Dean Ambrose in AEW now?
That's Big Mox.
That's Big Mox.
Oh.
Big fucking Mox.
Oh, he just rebranded.
Yes.
He went back to his old like indie wrestling
name. Oh, okay. That's silly. But
it's non-trademarked by WWE name.
Ah. Big Mox. Now I follow.
Yes.
Anyway, that's it. That's, man, oh man, what a show. We are back in a moment. With the flagship, the closer, the Kawhi Leonard of segments. Sad, not sad, after this. And we are back. Nothing to do but close it up. Nothing to do but answer the one question on everyone's mind. Is it sad or not sad? Jake, are you sad or not sad?
I don't know.
Nervous, not nervous.
It's weird. It's like we've talked before, and like it's a common, you know, sort of discussion about like the ability for sports to sort of distract and
sure
take away. Like I'm obviously like still extraordinarily stressed and depressed about my my professional life, but the Raptors have been a really nice little escape for the last couple of weeks, and it's nice that when on game nights, and obviously the fact that they've gone well is a big part of this, but it is kind of funny and nice how you can spend an evening screaming at a television in a bar with 100 other people and then be like, oh, I'm in a really good mood now for, you know, the day, the night, the whatever. And then I'll deal with all my shit tomorrow. And so I'm not sure if that's a sad or not sad, but it's a grateful, I suppose.
Sounds like, yeah, it sounds like a tool of not sad.
Yeah.
You sound not sad, Jace.
Yeah. I think so. Distractions are great.
You're given a reason to not be sad.
Love to distract myself from my problems and deal with them.
There are long periods of life where you aspire to be not sad a Jace.
Yeah.
Not sad a Jace is not a terrible place.
There's definitely been a long period of my life where I would have taken not sad a Jace.
Blake, on that same token, are you sad or not sad?
I'm not sad. This is, I'm extremely grateful for the last couple weeks and the couple weeks to come. And not to make everything about work, even though you guys know my life is almost entirely about work, opportunities like this are very rare. And it is not lost on me how cool this is and how unlikely it is that, especially fairly early in my career as an independent, I would get to cover something like this. And it's awesome. It's been so much fun.
I'm also not sad. And it's going to be a sweep of not sad basketball.
But, power of the finals.
But, you know, the power of the finals. The shots of people celebrating in the city, the people dancing in the streets after game six. I hearken back to, I really like how I felt in 2015 as a hardcore Blue Jays fan. Because, like, I like the Raptors a lot. When the Blue Jays got really, really good, I followed the Raptors a lot less than I had traditionally. When I was in college, basketball was my shit. It was like, that was my favorite sport. It's all I really cared about. But Jays was always my heart. The Jays getting really good. I was just sort of like, I'm just going to block everything else out. But there hasn't been, that I've seen, like any gatekeeping. There hasn't been any infighting. It's just like, please come cheer for the Raptors with us. And like, I love it. And I loved seeing, I haven't seen a scene like we saw after game six in the city. Probably since the Olympics in Vancouver. Yeah. That's the only time that I was ever a part of a sporting event happen. And I was like, we have to just walk in the streets. Like I was in an Imperial pub at Yonge and Dundas until 3:40 in the morning the day Canada won the gold. And this is like bigger than that. It feels bigger than that. It feels better than that. And this is the perfect day because we're 2 days removed from game six and we're 2 days away from game one. It's the perfect time to like just take a moment and
optimism will never be as high as
that's right. Today. That's right. And whatever, and it's easy to say now, whatever happens, we've often said, you know, as soon as they go down one game, panic will come in. But right now to be in this moment and say, this is really special and really magical. And it means a lot to a lot of people. And beyond just, you know, people like Blake getting opportunities and people that I really care about, seeing the team they really care about do really well. I really have loved people digging back into the old stuff.
Yeah. All those the old photos of Skydome.
So we used cool, to play man. There. And like going to the home opener was always my thing when I moved here. I wanted to go to home openers. I went to many home openers between 2006 and 2011, I want to say. Pretty much 5 straight years home openers. When they got Jermaine O'Neal, I was super hyped.
Oh, man.
Oh, my, the draft they didn't draft Danny Granger like might rip me
Joey
apart.
Joey Graham forever.
It's so cool to go back and look at all these things and all these teams and all this stuff and say, you know, the thing that I keep coming back to is I was 7 years old when the Blue Jays won the World Series. And there is a 7-year-old right now watching this run. And he is like, he or she, they are hooked forever. And nothing will ever touch the Raptors for them the rest of their lives. And that sort of stuff, you can't replicate it with anything else. There are people who don't like sports, which is like ridiculous. Imagine not loving sports.
I also think with the Raptors, I'm not saying there aren't older basketball fans, because I know there are.
Right.
But I do think, and I've always, I think like, gun to my head, the Jays probably also have my heart the most, but the Raptors are right there. And I think there is something to our generation specifically, whereas they're the only team where like we were there, we were kids when they began. Like when they were posting all these pictures of the Toronto Star articles of how they chose the team name. Like I remember those articles so clearly. And I remember being, I must've been about 5 and rooting real hard for the Toronto Dragons to be the team name because I thought Dragons were cool. But like, I remember those days. I remember the Skydome days. And this is the team that we've sort of grown up with in a way, more so than any, whether it's your favorite sport or not. Mm-hmm. They're the team that, like, they're our generation's team.
Imagine how stupid the name would be if they did an open poll now.
Oh, yeah. My God. A million times worse.
Some, it would be some bullshit meme that I've never heard
yes.
of.
Yes.
I get to watch Jason Kidd's Dallas Mavericks in his rookie year. It was like my first Raptors game.
My first Raptors game was the Bulls win.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then I saw, I remember the first, really, first time I ever had really good seats to a sporting event. It was, I think it was the Larry Hughes Cavaliers. And I was like, Larry wow. Hughes is the best player in the world. He looked like $1 million.
Remember those the fucking sight lines
Larry
back then?
Larry Hughes looked like $1 million against that Raptors team.
My first Raptor game was LeBron's rookie year.
Wow.
Yeah, he dropped like 50.
No doubt.
I remember seeing the Raptors play the Cavs the same night as the... This would have been in 2010. When was the gold medal hockey? 2010?
Yes.
So this would have been the same night as the semifinal, I believe, against Slovakia. And I remember they were playing the Cavaliers. First time I saw LeBron. And the game went to overtime. And the hockey game was starting at like 10. And the building fucking emptied as overtime started. And it was kind of cool because we had decent seats. But I remember with my dad, and we got to move down like a few rows because everyone left to go watch the hockey game. And there was just like, see, I was like, cool, seeing LeBron in overtime. This is dope.
Yeah.
And then it was. And he demolished us. I think Daniel Marshall had a big game that night.
As he did.
But
the most before his time there was.
No kidding.
It is crazy, though. Like, this to my point about being sort of our generation's team in a way. Like, everyone you talk to who has been a Raptors fan for 25 years or 25 weeks has, like, this is my Raptor memory story. Mm-hmm. Everyone has one.
It's neat to know that, like, you mentioned a good point that there aren't old fans. Is you can only be a Raptors fan of a certain, like, before 95, you can't be older than that. So, yeah. Like, your day one is the earliest you can possibly be. And I think that's super cool.
And all of our sort of memories are of the entire history of the franchise, which is the benefit of having a younger team, like, younger in terms of ages, years existing. Like, every memory you say, everyone above the age of anyone born after, like, 1991, I guess, can look at all these memories and be like, oh, I remember that, which I think is pretty cool.
I used to love Tracy Murray.
Oh, yeah.
Tea time. The LRB, Long Range Bomber. Well, that's it. Blake, what can we even say, man? You're the fucking best.
Thanks, guys.
Best sports writer in the country.
Love
best sports writer in the world.
Don't do that.
Love having you here.
It's true.
Love having you here. Love your coverage. Love that you make time for us. Means the world to us, and it means the world to our listeners. And we appreciate it. We look forward to the rest of your work the rest of the way. It's going to be awesome. How could it not be? I assume before this even posts, you'll have put two articles up that you wrote while you were in this room on your phone somehow.
Did we make official picks, by the way?
Raptors in seven.
Warriors in six.
Has to be the writer who knows things.
He's hedging. That's it. Thank you all for everything you've done for us in this entire run. You guys have been awesome.
Enjoy
asking us for extra podcasts. We appreciate it. That people would even think to mention us after a Raptors game is like,
oh yeah,
so cool.
Stupid.
We're gonna do our best to be as active as we can with these schedules.
We'll be somewhere. Whether it's to us. A full show or whether it's just us yelling on Instagram is.
But we'll be yelling, and we'll talk to you after some games have been played. And we'll see. We'll
enjoy
contrast. We'll contrast this
and try to. I will not listen to my own advice here
because
I know myself. But let's all try to enjoy the fact the Raptors are in the NBA Finals.
Couldn't put it better myself.
We won't, but we will try.
That's true. All we can ask is that we try, and all we can ask is that you keep listening. And we thank you very much for listening to Sportsfeld.
Sportsfeld!